Man, if you didn't go, it was a blast. Don't worry, we'll do it again next year. Amen. Amen. We'll find some more snow somewhere. And once you got to the top of that hill, you started rethinking your life. Should I really be doing this right now? It was fun, though. It was. It was pretty good ways up there. But it was a blast. Man, it really was. I don't know what the title of this sermon is this morning. I wrote down Walking in Victory, but I don't know. I don't know if that's the correct title or not. So you can just take notes and then make up your own title at the end. Amen. Turn over to Psalms 91, please. Amen. While y'all are turning over there, I'll pray. Father God, we do love, thank you, praise you, and magnify your holy name. And I thank you, Father God, we just come to your throne room boldly this morning. We just ask you, sir, to unveil and reveal truths to us from your word this morning even though I thank you, Father God, we do walk in the light that we have received so far, but I thank you for further light, Father God. We don't come to church this morning with an attitude of I already know that or I've already read that scripture, but we come with an open heart, Father God, a receptive heart, and understanding that yes, we might have read that before, but we understand that there's a lot in the Word of God that we still don't know. And so we thank you, Father God. We ask you, Holy Ghost, to unveil and reveal truths to us from your Word this morning. And I thank you, Father God, for the anointing. I thank you for the mantle that you placed on my life. And I thank you, Father God, I pull on that anointing by faith and I yield myself to it, Father God. And I thank you, we will say things that I didn't even plan on saying or things that I don't even have in my notes, but that you would have for this congregation and also myself. And I give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for it. In the name of Jesus, everybody agreed, said,
Amen.
Amen. Psalms 91, we'll start about verse 15 in the Passion, please. I will answer your cry for help every time you pray, and you will find and feel my presence. Amen. Even in your time of what? Amen. Even in your time of what? Pressure and trouble, right? How many of y'all have pressure and trouble? Everybody does. Amen. If nothing else, Satan's out to kill you. Steal from you, destroy everything you have. Yes, sir. If nothing else, Satan doesn't want you to be prosperous. He doesn't want you to live in victory. He doesn't want you to enjoy life. Yeah. His whole purpose is to make you just fail. Amen. So even in your time of pressure and trouble, I will be your what?
Glorious hero.
And give you a what?
Feast.
Amen. Next verse, please. You will be satisfied with what? With a full life. And with all that I do for you. For you will enjoy the fullness of my salvation. Amen. In the King James verse 16, it says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. You will be satisfied with a full life. So then leaving early, if you're not satisfied, should you leave early?
No.
And he said with a long life. A long life. So I don't have to die when I'm 40. I don't have to die when I'm 50 or 60. Because if he promised us 120, I don't think a long life is even 60 or 70. Amen. I don't. But once you're satisfied, if you're ready to go home, you can go home whenever you want.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
But don't go home too early.
Yeah.
And the reason being is us older people understand some things that younger people don't.
Yes, sir.
Or we have seen things that other people haven't. Like a move of the Holy Ghost where just people are dancing and shouting and running and jumping. There's a whole, what's it called?
Generation,
thank you, that doesn't even know what that means.
Yes.
Never even seen that kind of behavior in church.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so people that have been in that really need to teach them. Really need to show them what that looks like. You know, well, we're just afraid somebody might get off in there. Well, that happens anyways. It does. Amen. So who cares? Just keep going straight. Just keep doing what the Word of God says. And if something does kind of start seeming off, just correct it and get it back going straight. That's all you got to do. You know, a lot of times as people are too worried, well, if we start doing that, we're just, people are going to go to the extreme. They're going to go to the extreme either way. Either way. Either way. Because look, people are talking about, you know, going green. That's extreme. You want to know why? To me it is, because America has to do it, but every other country in the world doesn't. So America's going to fix it?
Yeah.
While every other country in the world just throws trash and everything else in the ocean?
Amen.
Does that make sense?
No.
Moving on. All right, moving on. So there's going to be extreme either way, right?
Yes, sir.
But in the Passion, go back to the Passion, please, verse 16. You will be satisfied with a full life and with all that I do for you. For you will what? The fullness of my salvation. Amen. You ought to research that on your own. What the fullness of the salvation is, right? The fullness, I wrote down, or I looked it up. It means completeness, exhaustiveness, all-inclusiveness, extensiveness, richness, and strength. Amen. Of his salvation. That's all inclusiveness in the salvation. What's all included in the salvation? Amen. See, if we don't know, we should find out. Because once I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, there's a lot of stuff that goes along with that. Because now I'm a child of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. And so if I'm a joint heir, and heir is something that is somebody that a lot of stuff, they're getting what belonged to their parents. They're an heir to that. So if I'm God's son and I'm a joint heir, everything that he has belongs to who?
Me.
Amen. When you're saved, everything that belongs to God, because you're a child of God now when you're saved, correct?
Yes.
So if you're a joint heir with Jesus, what all belongs to you?
Everything.
Everything that God has. Everything that belongs to God belongs to us once we get born again.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, amen. Amen. So we don't have time to teach it, but I kind of sense like people are like, what? You're crazy. But if you actually go and start looking at everything that belongs to you,
yes, sir,
you will be shocked and surprised.
Yes, sir.
Because a lot of people are living underneath what they should be living.
Yes, that's right.
Amen.
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 Because a joint heir with Jesus, I want to know everything that belongs to me. That way I can enjoy it. And I don't have to continue living this life I'm living. My life should continually get better, better, and better. I shouldn't stay stuck in a rut. I shouldn't stay. I shouldn't constantly have problems all the time. I understand Satan's trying to steal, kill, and destroy us. I understand that. But I shouldn't go from calamity to calamity to calamity to calamity. Amen. We're getting off track. Amen. Go over to Psalms 34:19, please. And fullness, I looked that definition up also. This is another part of it. It says, the state of being filled as to leave no part vacant.
Amen.
Amen. See, when you don't know what belongs to you, you ain't going to be able to enjoy any of it. Any of it. Well, why don't you tell me what belongs to me? Well, that's not the way God wants me to go this morning, or I would. But we did teach some sermons on the salvation package. We did teach that on quite a few different things that belongs to us that goes along with the salvation package. So you can go back and listen to that.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Pull this one up in the King James, please. I didn't say that. Many, how many?
Many.
Amen. A lot of times we don't like reading these. But we understand they're there.
Yes, sir.
And we understand these don't make us or break us.
Amen.
They can if you allow them to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Many are the afflictions of who?
The righteous.
But the Lord, it's funny that it's of who?
Lord.
The righteous? The righteous?
Yeah.
Well, I've never had this many problems when I wasn't saved. Well, no duh. You was working for Satan.
Yeah.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord deliver them out of some of them.
No, sir, all.
But the Lord delivered them out of some of them.
No, all.
No, sir, all.
How many of them?
All of them.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of how many of them? Every single thing that tried to come up, the Lord delivered me out of it before it even started. Before the problem, the situation even showed up, the Lord already delivered me out of this. So all I got to do is just continually look to God, not the situation that's trying to throw itself up in front of me. Because if I lose my focus off of God, then this situation in front of me is going to continually get bigger, and it's going to continually get me all agitated, frustrated, angry. I'm going to be touchy now with everybody because now my focus is here, and I don't know how we're getting out of this one this time.
Yeah.
You know, I know we made it before, but look at this one.
Yeah.
You really, I'm going to have to get about 6 more jobs. You know, we're going to have to sell everything we own to get through this now.
Amen.
Because all of my focus went on my supply, God, onto this situation, looking like, babe, I don't know how we're going to do it. This is it.
Yeah.
We might go down for this one.
Amen.
But thank God, he told us ahead of time. He said, look, the Lord delivered you out of all of them. He'll give you a way out every single time. Just ask him. Find out what's going on. Find out what you need to do. And then just go for it. Amen. 2 Corinthians, please. 4. About verse 8. You can pull it up in the CEV if you don't mind. Amen. Chapter 4, verse 8. Did I say chapter 2?
No.
Oh. I was like, man, I don't know where I told y'all that. I wouldn't put it past me telling y'all to go to chapter 2 by no means. We often, we'll do verse 8 and 9. We often suffer, but we are what?
Never crushed.
Even when we don't know what to do.
Amen.
How many times y'all came up against something and been like, I have no idea what to do now?
Amen.
I mean, this is different. This one, I've never faced nothing like this before. Amen.
Amen.
Even when we don't know what to do, we what?
Never.
We give up. What do?
Never give up.
Amen. Next. In times of trouble, what?
God is with us.
Trouble will make you question God's love if you let it.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. That's a fact.
But he always told us, first off, he'd never leave us nor what?
Forsake us.
But if I don't really know that.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
God is with us. And when we are knocked down, we stay down and cry. And then we tell all of our friends about it because, man, this time it hurt, you know, and I don't know what we're going to do. You know, we're probably not going to get out of this. We'll see you on the other side. Hopefully one day. Yeah, post it on Facebook. That way you can get a bunch of likes and send out pray for me. You know, and everybody puts prayer.
Yeah.
Well, pray for you for what? That's another whole conversation. Why are you putting just pray for me? How am I going to successfully pray for you if I don't even know what's going on? Because now I can't get an agreement with you that you'll get your answer because I don't know what it is. Well, the Holy Ghost will tell you. So now you're wanting me to be psychic.
Amen.
So if you do have a prayer request, send it into the church you're going to.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That'll wait, because I guarantee there's people that are there that they have a prayer team that goes over prayer requests and prays for them and gets answers.
Amen.
That way they can get an agreement with you.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have anybody to pray with. That's what I'm saying. Whatever church you're going to, go to them.
Yeah.
Amen. There's people there that'll pray with you, amen, and agree with you.
Amen.
We got off on that, sorry. Amen. I'm going to read it to you out of Phillips real fast. The Phillips translation, 2 Corinthians 4, 8, it says, we are handicapped on all sides. Amen. But we are never frustrated. We are puzzled, but never in despair.
Amen.
We are persecuted, but we never have to stand it alone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Amen.
Jesus told us, he said, I got to go, but don't worry about it. The Comforter, he's going to stay here. And you start looking it up, it's the Comforter, the standby, the helper, the advocate, the strengthener, the strengthener. Amen, the strengthener. So whenever we do start hitting problems like this, you know the best way to get out of situations like that? Hallelujah, thank you, God. What did Paul and Silas do when they got thrown in jail? This is it, we're going to die, guys. I know I've told y'all 1,000 times, but I did a study on that, and I found out that jail that they were in, the life capacity, once you got thrown in there, was two months. That's the longest anybody would live in there, 2 to 6 months. That was it. Once you got thrown in that jail, you got 2 or 6 months, and that's it. You dead. Because the sewer ran right through the jail, and they would beat you and things, and so bacteria and everything else is running rampant down there. And so 2 to 6 months, that's it. That's not very long. And so you get thrown into jail like that. And I mean, a lot of people's like, well, this is it. I ain't never getting out of here now.
Right. Yes,
I guess we're going to die here. Hopefully my family does something or prays or comes and sees me before I die.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But not us, right? Amen. That was another. Amen. Let me go back here of where we was. We never have to stand it alone. We may be knocked down, but we are never knocked out. Hallelujah. Amen. We are persecuted, but we never have to stand it alone. Amen. Amen. When's the last, or any... I won't ask that, but amen. Whenever you do get in troubles or situations come up, you're able to praise God, the strengthener on the inside of you. I'm telling you, if you're ever down and feeling depressed, if you just start praising God,
amen.
The strengthener, the helper on the inside of you will strengthen you. And so that depression, that anxiety, that worry, that fear that's just bombarding you because of the situation that's going on, you can praise yourself out of it every single time if you'll just do it. Amen. I can't do it for you just like you can't praise my way out for me. I think I said it backwards, but I hope you get the gist of it. Amen. I confused myself when I said it. Son. But I can't praise your way out and you can't praise my way out.
Amen.
We all got to do it ourselves.
Amen.
We do.
Amen.
So, I mean, last time we had a situation pop up and just praised our way out.
Yeah.
Amen. I wonder how long it'd take us to get out of a situation if we approached it like that every single time instead of an attitude of, oh God, here we go again.
Amen.
I don't know why me this time.
Yeah.
I felt like I just went through this not that long ago, and here we go again.
Yeah,
Amen. But, amen. All right. Y'all all right? Look at your neighbor and say, we're going to get through this. Hallelujah. Amen. So we are handicapped on all sides, but we are never frustrated. Amen. So I looked up that word frustrated. It means you are upset or angry because you're unable to do anything about a situation.
Amen.
You are upset or angry because you're unable to do anything about a situation. It also means feeling discouragement, anger, annoyance because of unresolved problems or unfulfilled goals, desires, or needs. Amen. So it's feeling discouragement, anger, and annoyance because of unresolved problems or unfulfilled goals, desires, or needs. There was a psychologist, I was doing a study on it, and they were talking about this. And they said, you know, people, whenever they start getting frustrated and stuff like that, if they will begin breathing slowly and repeat a calm word or phrase, and they put such as, well, I didn't like the words they used at all. So I reverted back to the word of God.
Yes.
As should in all of us that are born again believers. Anything that pops up, I should always revert back to the word. Well, what does the word of God say concerning this situation I'm in? Well, what does the word of God say concerning healing? Well, what does the word of God say concerning finances? What does the word of God say about living in a new house or driving a new car?
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Amen. While breathing, you can slowly repeat a calm word or phrase such as, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. 1 John 4:4, right? I'm the head and not the tail. Deuteronomy 28:18. By stripes I was healed. I was healed. 1 Peter 2:24, right? Though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, so that I through his poverty might be rich. 2 Corinthians 8:9.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. So whatever the situation is, I have scripture that I can quote constantly.
Yes.
Constantly. If I'll get in the word and find out what I need to be saying, whatever situation is. Amen. Dr. Dufresne, I heard him talking about Brother Hagin one day. He said that he had always heard Brother Hagin. He wasn't saying it out loud, but he'd just be talking to himself. Dr. Dufresne said, I was curious what he was saying. So I got over beside him, you know, played like I was kind of doing something or whatever, and got over beside him so I could kind of eavesdrop, find out what he was saying. And he said, he's just constantly saying, it'll all come to pass.
Amen.
It'll all come to pass. Well, what'll come to pass? Whatever he was believing God for, it'll all come to pass. Well, what was going on? Trials and tribulations were showing up in front of him. So he is constantly reaffirming himself. It'll all come to pass. It'll all come to pass. He wasn't allowing the thoughts and the images that were trying to show up saying, you're defeated this time. No way you're going to get through this one. There is no way you're going to get through it.
Amen.
Amen. You said, y'all remember Muhammad Ali, right?
Yep.
Before he would ever fight anybody, what would he do? He would constantly just talk and tell them how bad he's about to beat them.
Yep.
That is it.
Yep.
That was it. He would tell his opponents how bad he's about to wear them out. They could be bigger than him. He'd be like, it don't matter. You're about to just get whooped. I'm going to embarrass you in front of your entire family.
Right.
You're going to be a joke after this.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to even recognize you when I'm done.
Right.
Nobody's going to know your name any longer.
Right.
Nobody's going to care about you anymore. Look, they don't even care about you now. You're defeated already. Look at you. You're starting to cry and worry about things. I'm going to wear you out. You're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though they probably could have beat him, they allowed that to get into their heads.
Yes.
And so they were defeated before they'd even get into the ring. I forget who it was. One of the people that he was fighting said, that they knew that they lost as soon as they started listening to him, because they said, before I even got into the ring, I knew I lost because I started listening to what he is saying and then I started believing it.
Amen.
Before he even got into the ring, lost.
Yep. Amen.
Because he believed Muhammad, what Muhammad Ali was saying.
Yep. Amen.
And they didn't even fight yet. That's what's funny about it.
Amen.
So, what I mean, if a guy can do that, don't you think Satan really uses that kind of stuff on us?
Yes.
You're defeated. Nobody likes you. Look, but nobody cares if you're going through this. Nobody loves you. Look at you. You're defeated anyways. Just give up. It's fine. You don't have to worry about it. You know, just kind of just stay knocked down. You'll be fine. It's all right. Everybody's doing it now. You know. Being frustrated will cause you to question God's love.
Yes.
Amen. Talking about, well, why'd you let this happen? But who, where does it come from? We need to figure that out.
Yep.
Satan comes to do what?
Kill, steal, destroy.
So once I have that pegged down, once I've got that figured out, I can just go, okay, God, I understand 100%. This is not from you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because good and perfect gifts come from where? So would he try to test me with problems and sickness and things like that? Not if it's good and perfect gifts come from above. And if there was sickness and things like that in heaven, why are we trying to go to a place where there's that at?
Amen.
Why?
Amen.
If there's sickness in heaven, why would we want to go to heaven? If there was disease in heaven, why would we want to go there? Amen. There's not. There's not any. Amen. There's no sickness. God, why would he send Jesus to the cross to take care of all the sickness and disease and tell you in 1 Peter 2:24, pull it up please in the King James so we can read it real fast. Amen. It says, who his own self, get Matthew 18:19 ready as well, please. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to what?
Sin.
Should live how?
Unrighteous.
By whose stripes? Who's he talking about?
Jesus.
Are we sure?
Yes.
By whose stripes ye what?
Were.
Is that future or past tense?
Past.
So then if you were, then you? And if I are, then I am. Right? And then Matthew 18:19 says, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall not, 8:17, I'm sorry. That's if two of you agree. Matthew 8:17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself, who? Who's himself? Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Amen. Took our what? And bear our what?
Sickness.
Amen. Who did that?
Jesus.
Amen. So why would God try to give us something that Jesus already bore?
Amen.
That wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah. That's right.
It wouldn't. Not, why would Jesus go to the cross to take care of all of that just for us, just for God to put that on us? What sense would that make? If we really think about it, God sent Jesus to take care of sin, death, sickness, disease, poverty, lack. Jesus voluntarily went to the cross for each and every one of us. We agree? What did he do on the cross though? We got to understand, what did he do? It wasn't just salvation. It wasn't. Yes, it was. No, it wasn't. We ought to just kind of study the word for a little bit and look it up and see everything. Because like right here, he said that himself bore our sicknesses and our diseases. Where did he do that at?
On the cross.
And then 2 Corinthians 8:9 talks about though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that we through his poverty might be made rich, right? That happened also on the tree, but that's not what we're talking about, sickness right now, right? So why would Jesus go to the cross, bear all of that just for God to put it on one of us now?
Right. Amen.
That would have, there would have been no purpose behind it now. Jesus just went just for salvation and that's it. So now we just got to go through life hoping we have a good life and make it. And what kind of life would that be for us to follow God, accept God as our Lord and Savior, and now he's our Father, to give us a good life, but he's like, all right, you're saved, you're going to make it to heaven. Now I hope you make it in life and you do pretty good.
No.
Number one, we'd all be crazy. Because why would we be serving a God like that?
That's right.
Amen. Y'all okay this morning?
Yes,
amen. All right. He didn't. Amen. Jesus bore it. We don't have to bear it. So if I'm trying to bear something, sickness or disease, then I'm trying to put myself in the place as Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And I don't have that right. He already took care of it. So why do I want to have to deal with something he already took care of? Why? There's no point in it. There's absolutely no point in it. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's no point in sickness and disease. There's not. Himself took our what?
Infirmities.
And he bore what?
Our sickness.
If he bore them, why do I have to? Well, God's trying to teach me a lesson. What's the lesson? What's the lesson? There's no point. Why can't he just tell me what the lesson is instead of trying to put sickness and disease on me? We've just kind of assumed that, and then we've kind of fell in line with that. But, amen, we're understanding, we're getting more light on it. Amen. That's what we're doing. Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And what he bore, I don't have to bear. Amen. Amen. And don't give up on us. Amen. If that sounds crazy, but just continue to meditate on that word.
Yes.
Just continue to meditate on it. And find out what belongs to you as a child of God. Amen?
Amen.
All right, go over to Romans 12, 18, please. I didn't plan on talking about that, but it's good. Amen. We need it. I'm going to read this one to you out of the Phillips translation again. Romans 12... 8. Twelve, 18. Thank God, because that was not making sense, what I was reading. Holy cow. I was like, who wrote that down in my notes? But we're back. I was at 12:8. Amen. So in the Phillips translation, it says, as far as your responsibility goes, amen, live at peace with who?
Amen.
Amen. And it says, as far as your responsibility goes, who are they talking about? Whose responsibility is it?
Mine.
It's mine, right? Live at peace with everyone.
Yes.
Even your next door neighbor that gets on your last nerve.
Amen.
Live at peace with everyone.
Yes, sir.
That's not possible. Yeah, it is.
Yes, sir.
Yes, it is. God wouldn't write anything in the Bible that would be impossible, because that would be unjust. If there was something in the Bible we were unable to do, that he's an unjust God then.
That's right.
That would not be fair. That would not be fair for us. If he put something in the Word of God that was impossible for us to do, that would be just unfair. Because if he knows it's impossible, why would it be in the Bible then?
Right.
And if we're supposed to reflect our life off of the Word of God, right? We're supposed to, our life's supposed to be an image of the Word of God, right?
Yes.
Amen. I agree. So it says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You'll have opportunities every day for this, every single day. Me and Chelsea, when we was living in our last house for how long we lived there? 6 years or whatever. We moved in and not even a month. How long was it? About a month after we moved in, if it was that long, we got served papers. Our next door neighbor was suing us because the people that owned the house before us built a brick wall in the back. We was on a golf course, and you know they got like concrete pillars, and then they have the chain link in the middle. Well, he took some of those out and just filled them all in with concrete blocks, and we got sued for it for about 5 years. Yeah. I can't tell you how many times.
That's a word.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole, that's when I tried to stop reading the word. That way I didn't have to live by it. Man. And then they put up cameras, kind of. I was like, babe, look, you go over there with some paint. Just spray paint. I'm going to go in. We had plans. Y'all don't even know. Because we got sued and kept having to go to court and pay for a lawyer because of something we didn't do. So I got to learn live peaceably with all men for a while. Amen. But we finally got through it. Amen. And we ended up going to court that last time, and the judge said it's a vexatious. It was
vexatious.
That word.
Y'all heard him. And so she had to pay them like $2,000 or $3,000 if she ever wanted to file anything against us again to take us to court. Amen. And so that was, we was like, thank God we're done. Finally. Amen. Took 5 years. Amen. Amen. Something we didn't do. But we got through it. We got through it. Amen. We didn't make them any chocolate chip cookies with laxatives in them like I wanted to. Look, I was like, look, we can be calm. We can make them some food. I'm going to go pick up some laxative before we make it. So I can't. Look, honestly, I was like that close to doing that. Y'all don't even know. Because I was done. I really was. I was fed up with it. Golly, because anyways, moving on. Y'all trying to get me aggravated again. Amen. Live peaceably with all men. So are we able to do that?
Yes.
Yes, we are. Number one, the Word of God says we can. But number two, we got to learn how to shut our flesh down.
Yes.
We've lived by our flesh too much.
Yes.
And that's the thing. That's why, you know, you spit on me, I'm going to spit on you. You know, an eye for an eye, you know, and we live by the flesh, the reactions of the flesh our whole life. And so now that's how we respond to a lot of stuff. And so we got to retrain ourselves. Amen. That way we shut the flesh down and live by our spirit, man, the real us, the real you. Right. Amen. And so we're able to live peaceably with all men. When somebody's talking about you, calling your names behind your back, you're able to smile and not even care what they say. You don't even worry about it. You're like, well, thank God. Thank God for another opportunity to live peaceably with all men.
Yes.
When you start looking at situations like that, it's like looking at it through a whole new scope. And your life just becomes so much easier now. Because things don't frustrate you. Things don't aggravate you, get you worried, get you upset anymore.
Amen.
Because you're like, thank God, another opportunity to live peaceably with all men. They're going to talk about me regardless, and I know that. I do. It's fine. It is. I'm good with it. Say what y'all need to say. Hallelujah. I'm going to love you and just thank God for you for it anyways. Amen. I'm going to live peaceably. Regardless if anybody else doesn't, I know I will. Amen. And that's the thing. Things will just not aggravate you like they do at work any longer either.
Amen.
They won't.
Amen.
Because now you won't think that everybody's out to get you.
Yes.
Amen. Because you can live peaceably with all men. Things do not bother you anymore. They just don't. They don't. Somebody can come up to you and be like, man, really, that's the haircut you went with? You'll be like, yeah, yeah, thank you. And just move on. Just move on. Because why am I going to allow Satan a foothold? Why am I going to allow him to get me aggravated about something? To get me mad at somebody? Now I'm not even walking in love. I start getting mad at people. Amen. And he told us the new commandment he gave us, and the greatest of all of them is to walk in love. Walk in love. Amen. That's how we fulfill the law, right? We walk in love. Amen. So as far as your responsibility goes, live at peace with everyone. Responsibility, I looked that up. It says the state of being accountable within one's power or control.
Yes.
Amen. The state of being accountable. Amen. That means, are we being accountable for our actions?
Yes.
Amen. Like that we was, they mentioned, we was talking about blame shifting, and I forgot to record it. I thought about this morning. I was like, man, I was going to record it, and I forgot. But we'll try to, we might teach it some other time, because it was really good.
Yes, sir.
But blame shifting, you know, that's just another thing of Satan. He, you know, people... You start living by the flesh, and then you don't want to take responsibility. It was somebody else's fault that I ran off the road.
Right.
Well, you was the one behind the steering wheel. No, it doesn't matter. They came over a little bit, and they probably didn't even cross the line or nothing. But, you know, that way I don't look like I'm crazy, and I still know how to drive. It was their fault because, you know, there was a reflection, and their mirror was right there, and they were cleaning off their windshield, and it squirted water on my car. And then I thought I saw a turtle, but it wasn't a turtle. It was a rock. I think I heard somebody one time talk about, well, how did you wreck? Well, there was a rabbit that ran out in front of me. I was like, well, kill the rabbit. Why are you going to run off in a ditch for a rabbit? I don't know. Moving on. I don't know why I said that. Amen. The state of being accountable with one's power or control, within one's power. The state of being accountable. We're all accountable for our own actions. Amen. How I talk to Chelsea, y'all ain't responsible for. Amen. I am. How you talk to your spouse, I'm not responsible for. You are. How you talk to your boss, how you talk to your coworkers, how you talk to your waitress or waiter. Amen. We're responsible for that. We are. And we got to take responsibility for that. We really do. Every one of us. Amen. Especially if we're going around letting everybody know that we're saved and we're born again and we're Christians. Well, I should really watch the way I act then. Okay, we're going to talk over here because they don't want to talk to me on this side. Amen. So we really should, because now people, all eyes are on us.
Yes.
And here's the thing. If people are like kind of going back and forth with getting saved or not getting saved, and then they see us acting like they do and living life like they're living life, they'd be like, well, why get saved? I'm living like they are. I mean, I might be saved then. Amen. Amen. Go over to John 14, please. Let's do verse 1 and verse 27 out of the Amplified Classic. Do not let your hearts be what?
Troubled.
Distressed. What? You believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely on who?
God.
Amen. You want to know why people their hearts are distressed and agitated? Because they're trying to rely on themselves, or they're trying to rely on their job, or they're trying to rely on, well, I got to do, you know, I got to start being amen. Start eating healthier. I'll say it that way. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Yep. Y'all okay?
Yeah.
All right. Amen. Smile at somebody and say, I'm still happy.
I'm so happy.
Amen. Amen. You believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely on God. Believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely also on me. 14, was it? Or 27? No, 27, yeah. Peace I leave with you. Oh, snap. Whose peace is it?
Jesus.
I now give and bequeath to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be what?
Trouble.
Neither let them be what?
Afraid.
Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disrupted. Yes, that word. And do not permit yourselves to be what?
Fearful.
And what?
Intimidated.
And?
Cowardly.
And?
Unsettled.
Come on. Amen. So peace I leave with you. His peace.
Yes.
His peace. Amen. Well, I just don't know how to do it. Well, the peace of God, if you're born again, is already belongs to
yes.
you.
Yes.
Amen. All we got to do is start yielding to that
yes.
and exercising that.
Yes.
That's it. Amen. Well, how do I do that? Well, whenever your wife gets snappy, go, I love you. Thank you.
Amen.
I love you. And then you can, it's not going to be perfect every time, right? It's just me again? Okay. So, I mean, you can say, I love you. It's fine. I'm exercising the peace of God on the inside of me. I probably wouldn't say all this out loud. And then kind of under your breath go, I know this is your fault, but I ain't going to say it out loud right now. Amen. But the peace of God is on the inside of us. And if we just yield to it and start exercising it, it'd be just like muscles. Y'all know all of y'all's muscles have the same exact muscles Arnold Schwarzenegger had?
Yeah.
Or Ronnie Coleman. Have y'all ever seen Ronnie Coleman?
Yeah.
Whenever he won the, what was it? Mr. Olympia? Not Mr. Olympian. Was it?
Olympia.
Mr. Olympia. How many times? Like 7 or 8 times? He was, I could lay sideways, and that's how wide his back is. This guy was huge.
Yeah.
But y'all know we have the same muscles as them.
Yeah.
Each and every one of us do.
Yeah.
They just learned how to hone in on their muscle groups, exercise them, and develop them.
That's right.
Yeah. All of us have the peace of God on the inside of us.
Yeah.
All of us have it. All we got to do is learn how to exercise it and use it.
Yes,
amen. Just like the love of God, it's been shed abroad in our hearts, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, if you're born again, the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart.
Yes.
Amen. All you got to do is yield to love and not hatred.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yield to love and not hatred.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And just love everybody.
Yes, sir.
Amen. It's going to be a faith deal at first, especially with people you don't like. Amen. But you got to continually reaffirm yourself. I thank God, the God kind of love is on the inside of me, and I love him with the God kind of love, because it ain't my love right now.
Mm-mm.
Amen. It's something we have to develop. Amen. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Troubled. Neither let them be what? Amen. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated. That just gets on my nerves. Well, stop letting it get on your nerves.
Amen.
Amen. I know it sounds, it's easier said than done.
Yes.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Look, because we just went to a marriage thing for how long? 2 days, 3 days, Thursday night, and we left one night. However long it was, regardless. We got back, and lo and behold, me and Chelsea kind of had a disagreement. You don't say. And then afterwards, we was like, we was laughing about it, because we was like, we just got back from a marriage seminar. Now we're kind of getting on each other's nerves. We're doing that.
Amen.
Amen. But don't let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Amen. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and what? We have to stop allowing ourselves. It's not you. Hey, you need to stop agitating me. You need to get your life right. That's kind of part of that blame shifting again, right? Because now it's somebody else that's making you mad.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's you yielding to your flesh is what's making you mad. Because, you know, we have the attitude of you step on me, I'm going to step on you. You're trying to tell me it's my fault. No. Number one, I'm perfect. It's your fault. That's how we feel sometimes. And that's how the fights start, because we really think we're right. Well, look, I'm just being blunt. I'm just telling them, look, you messed up. None of the dishes are done. That's your job. And see, and then after you wake up, y'all can have a real talk. Wake up going, what happened? Nothing. You wanted to take a nap. Amen. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and what?
Disturbed.
Stop allowing yourselves. I love how they said, yeah. Stop allowing us. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated. Stop allowing things to agitate you. Stop allowing things to get on your nerves. Stop allowing things to get under your skin. Stop allowing things to get you mad at everybody. We got to stop allowing that stuff to get to us, because Satan understands if he can start getting me mad, agitated, upset at my wife, upset at my coworkers, well, I'm not going to have a peaceable life, because now I'm walking around mad, angry at the world, touchy, resentful.
Bitter.
And that, what kind of life is that? Then we will look like everybody else. Anybody else ever seen somebody walking around like this all the time?
Yes.
Just don't enjoy life at all? Like, all right, I'm here. What we got to do now? Like, man, can you smile at least a little bit? Be happy? Something? They don't understand it. And so you start yielding to it. That becomes a part of your life. Now you don't know how to yield to peace. Now you don't know how to even yield to joy. You don't understand what happy means.
Amen.
Who wants to live like that?
Yeah.
Amen. None of us should.
Right.
None of us. Because I like having fun way too much.
Yes. Amen.
I do. I enjoy laughing. Yep. Amen. So we got to stop allowing ourselves to be agitated and disturbed. And we can't permit ourselves to be what?
Fearful.
Be fearful. It's funny that... getting agitated and stuff and disturbed is before fearful.
Yeah.
It's like it's given an opportunity for it to start showing up now.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we can't permit ourselves, son, that was a redneck accent real bad. And do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly. And what?
Unsettled.
I looked up unsettled, and it means aimless, directionless, purposeless, without purpose, without a goal, rootless. You ain't got no word in you, no roots from the word, no rootless, moving and wandering. Amen. That's what unsettled means. The definition means lacking stability, worried, and uneasy.
Amen.
That's what unsettled means. Lacking stability, worried, and unsettled. Or uneasy, sorry. And it also means aimless, direction, without a goal, rootless, moving, and wandering. But I really liked directionless.
Yeah.
Going nowhere fast. Nowhere fast. Amen. And who likes to just get in the car and just drive wherever, nowhere fast, right? A lot of times when you get in a vehicle, you always have a direction to go. Now, there's a lot of times me and Chelsea will just get in the truck and we just go drive around. We don't have a direction. But when you're going on a long trip, you always kind of know where you're going and what you want the outcome to be at the end. Yes. Amen? We got to have direction in our life. We really do. And how do we get it? From the Word of God. Amen?
Yes.
Yeah, it is time. Let's read one more translation or one more verse, please. Is that all right?
Yes.
Hey, thank you. Y'all are so nice this morning. Amen. Go over to 2 Corinthians 2:14, please. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in what?
Triumph.
As trophies of Christ, what?
Victory.
And through us spreads and makes evident the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere. I didn't write down the translation, but one of them says, thanks be unto God, because I'm always in the process of being triumphant.
Amen.
Thanks be to God, because I'm always in the process of being triumphant. See, when I'm doing what the Word of God says, when that's the final authority in my life, is the Word of God, I'm always in the process of being triumphant, regardless of the situation that's going on in front of me. Because I always revert back to, what does the Word of God say about this situation right now? What does the Word of God say about it? And I'm always in the process of being triumphant. Amen. And if you ever noticed, people always are attracted to winners.
Yes, sir. Amen.
People are always attracted to winners because they want to know, how can I enjoy life like this? How can I live a good life like that? People are always attracted to winners. Amen. We better stop because, well, it's time. Amen. You got something? Oh, okay.
All right. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this word that you have given us this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you gave your son Jesus for us, that he did go to the cross for us, that he took our sickness to the cross. Lord, that you made a way for us to be in right standing with you again through your son, that you've made a way for us to be with you forever. And Jesus, that you have given us your peace for our life. But know what? There might be some people in here today that haven't met this Jesus yet. There might be something where it doesn't feel like that, you know, you can even read that scripture because you never have asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life. You can't call yourself a child of God. He is here for you this morning.